The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe! Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please. You are marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. Amen. Some are burdened by them, while others embrace them in full participation. Some might be just too busy to accept them, but others greet them in the streets. I wonder, is it any surprise that there is division among people even about Halloween? What did you think I was talking about? Some will say kids shouldn't dress up like demons or witches because it opens that door to evil spirits. While others will say it's all in good fun and they'll decorate in order to create a cute environment for those anything but scary trick-or-treaters. So no matter where you stand on the subject of Halloween, we should know that it is one of the few things left in our culture that just might be one of the few traditions left where we are encouraged to actually talk to our neighbors. That's a good thing, right? Knowing our neighbor is becoming a thing of the past. And I heard it once said that the greatest invention that led to unawareness and seclusion from knowing our neighbor was the automatic garage door opener. We pull into our driveway, push a button, pull our cars inside, push the button to close it, and it's so easy to avoid talking to our neighbor, and another day passes. So I mentioned this introspection about Halloween tradition, that it might be one of the last in our culture getting us to talk to our neighbors, because the Sunday that follows Halloween is always All Saints Sunday. That annual festival day that began long ago for the purpose of gathering believers together to remember those who have been martyred for the faith, those who gave their lives in pursuit of what is really a strange way of living. The earliest reference to such a feast day for all the martyrs of the church is found in the writings of St. John of Chrysostom. And then in 835, Pope Gregory IV established November 1st as the commemoration day for the Western Church. These martyred saints, one for which this congregation is named, St. Stephen, found out that following Jesus meant the total abandonment and self-sacrifice of the self. Stephen was the first martyr of the New Testament who, like Christ on the cross, forgave the sinners as they stoned him to death, saying they know not what they do. He wholeheartedly followed Jesus in pursuit of this strange way of living. But today, now in the 21st century, All Saints Sunday is part of our worship calendar in order to remember and commemorate those who have died during the past year. And it's good for us to do this. It is good for us to say the names. That's actually me. I knew that would happen one day. It's telling me to stop or keep going, I don't know. It's good for us to raise up the names of those who brought us to church, of those who were with us through the tough times as well as the good times, to raise up the names of those who sacrificed and loved and came to worship each Sunday at our side. We say the names of those we love and do a community that bears one another's burdens, and we share in the consolation we receive. Halloween may be the last cultural tradition that gets us to meet our neighbors, but the church affords us a vehicle to do the same thing at a much, much deeper level. You see, this body, this communion of saints is also celebrated today as we remember those who have gone on ahead of us to be with God, but also remember the saint that's sitting right next to us. If there was anybody in the front row, I'd say the saint sitting in the front row, as well as the saints in the back row and every other seat in between and on each side. And yet, we don't stop there. Because the saints in the townhomes and apartments next door, as well as the neighborhood across the street, these are often forgotten as saints among us. So as we're called to embrace the saint in our church today, and the saint that no one else notices, or the saint that has no voice in our community, I encourage you to try a little exercise the next time you're at a traffic light. As you're waiting there and the cars are turning in front of you, look at each driver and say the word saint as they pass by. Saint. Saint. Wait, really? Yes, saint. As you follow the biker who's annoying you because they're taking up so much space on the road, remind yourself, saint. The person on the side of the road with a sign saying, I need food or gas money. Yes, saint. Think that if we could relate to one another as a saint, how this world would be changed for the better. You see, I could go through Jesus' Sermon on the Plain, the gospel that we read this morning, line by line, part by part, discuss the differences between blessings and woes, but instead of that, I just want to ask this question. Why in the world would people choose to follow Jesus' strange way of living? Poor, hungry, weeping, being hated are good things? And what's so wrong with having wealth anyway? With being secure, fullness? What's so wrong with having people speak well of you? Who can conform to Jesus' strange way of living? As we ponder these questions, let me lift up something to you that struck me during my reflections for today's sermon this week. And that something is that no matter what I say from the pulpit, I cannot control how you hear it. Last week, I listed a variety of sins from this very place. I said trespassing, bragging, adultery, stealing, and then I said, I cannot name all of the sins I committed. When I got home, Jonas and Colleen confronted me on my admission of being an adulterer. No, I said. I have not done that. But the point is, I cannot control how the words are heard. So I worry today that even though it is not my goal that one person in this place will hear the message and conclude that it's good to suffer now because rewards will come later, and that it is bad to have rewards now because it means there's going to be suffering later, I do not think that is the takeaway message from Jesus' sermon. The message instead is that the things that we so often label as blessings, wealth, plenty of food, comfort, having a good reputation, these are things that can actually kill our souls. They have the real potential to lead us away from God and from community. And we should also know that the woes that are listed are not necessarily curses, but calls to pay attention, to look out. Look out, you who are rich. Pay attention, you that are full and laughing and with good reputation, because you're in peril. These may not be the blessings that we thought they were, because Jesus is describing ways of living that conform to God's commitment to see the people in poverty and people who are unprivileged to be raised up. And the good news for us is, because most of us fall into that rich, full, laughing category, the good news is that we are not cursed, but instead called to pay attention. The very things that the world teaches us to value, the protection of our own ego and our garage doors, have the real potential to kill our souls. Today, Jesus is not giving commands to every person to die for their faith and following the strange way of living, but some will. Many already have. Today, Jesus is not commanding the wealthy to blindly dump all of their wealth into ways that do not promote the well-being upon the receiver, or in ways that bring crippling understandings of entitlements, but instead to be aware that there is a divide, a racial, cultural, and socioeconomic divide that we already have the faith to cross. We are among the members of the communion of saints, the body of Christ that creates a new reality that draws us into a new way to live in society. And it's going to be messy. It's going to be risky. The directive from Jesus defies human logic altogether. There's never a cost-benefit analysis. There's never a risk management model in following Jesus. I'm sorry, but there just isn't. Safe ministry will eventually kill us. The poor, the hungry, the people who grieve, those who are hated on the account of the Son of Man, these are loved by God. The rich, the full, the people who laugh now, and those who seek a good reputation, you know what? They're also loved by God. I'm not so sure about the false prophets, though. But I'll leave that up to God. You see, the concluding verses 27 to 31 are a call to everyone in all of the categories just listed. When Jesus said, love enemies, do good to those who hate you, Bless those who curse you. Let them even strike you a second time. Give to the beggar without expecting any return on the investment. When he said, do to others as you would have them do to you, he said, you're going to have a risky way of living. Jesus' way is a strange way to live. Thankfully, these are things we do not have to do by ourselves. We aren't expected to, because we are a part of the communion of saints, the body of Christ, together. Saints. Saints that are set apart to live a very particular kind of life. Amen.